Well, it's a very busy weekend coming up in the world of football. The Socceroos enter the next stage of their World Cup 2014 qualifying, taking on Oman tonight in Muscat, then Japan in Brisbane next week. Meanwhile, in Europe, the Euro 2012 tournament kicks off. It's being hosted in Poland and Ukraine. And while some great football is anticipated, the threat of racism from the local crowds looms large. A recent BBC documentary highlighted widespread racist and anti-Semitic behaviour amongst football fans in Eastern Europe. The doco showed thousands of fans at one football match chanting, making Nazi salutes, and some vicious assaults on minorities at a couple of football matches in Ukraine. Football commentator Martin Tyler will be calling many of the Euro 2012 games for SBS. Martin Tyler, welcome again to RM Breakfast.
Fran, nice to talk to you again.
Martin, we'll get to the Socceroos and their World Cup qualifiers in a moment, but can we first focus on these fears, some relatively heightened fears, I think, of racism in the Euro 2012 competition. How worried are the authorities about this?
Well, I think they are worried, and the documentary you refer to has obviously come up in conversation amongst the hierarchy, I think, at UEFA, who are running the tournament. Whether it's scaremongering or whether it turns out to have a lot of basis in truth, we'll have to find out. It is a big issue. It's an issue that's been addressed pretty well in the United Kingdom, I must say. And the impression here is that other nations haven't taken it quite so seriously. But the players are beginning to have a voice about it, and there is some talk about, if there is real racism against the players from mixed race or from black origin, that they will walk off the pitch. And, of course, that will bring huge global attention to the issue, and it will make UEFA perhaps have to take a stronger line on it. Mm. But there is a feeling that countries are different, and there are different cultures, the meaning. Obviously, in the UK, we're very sensitive, and we want it to be eliminated. We've got no time for racism here at all.
It's come to sort of global attention because of that BBC Panorama documentary, and the footage on that was extraordinary. I mean, it showed thousands of football fans at a game, I think it was in Ukraine, making what certainly looked like the Nazis salute. It was quite chilling, I thought. What did you think of that footage?
Well, I have to say I've only seen it in passing. I didn't see the specific program itself, but I certainly know what you're referring to. The game has worked really hard. I mean, in Britain, we had a big problem with all sorts of hooliganism in the 80s. Mm. The authorities and the public, the public police a lot of it themselves. And we are talking about a minority element here. There are pernicious minorities in all walks of life, in all nations. And this is going to maybe affect a major sporting occasion. My personal view, Fran, is that if there is racism in the stadium, that the officials should take the players off. I don't think the players should have to do it for themselves. Mm. I think it's got to come from the authorities. You expect the law to deal with it, and the law, as far as sport is concerned, are those who are running the tournament, not the players themselves.
And that is the policy, the zero tolerance policy. If there's racism in the crowds, the ref is allowed to just blow the whistle and call the game. But Martin, obviously you've been to a lot of football matches around Europe. I wonder whether you think the crowds are behaving differently, because there was also some awful footage in that Panorama doco of some Polish crowds making monkey noises. And I'm not talking two or three people, I'm talking hundreds of people monkey noises at black football players and throwing bananas on the pitch. And yet the head of UEFA, Michael Platini, said at a press conference just the other day, "I don't think there's any more racism in Poland and Ukraine than in France or anywhere else, or even in England. It's not a footballing problem, it's a problem for society." Do you agree with that characterisation, that the crowds aren't any more racist in Poland and Ukraine than they are in France or anywhere else?
Well, I do agree with it. It is a problem for society. It manifests itself at other events apart from sport, and it is something that's allowed to exist by governments who haven't made any efforts to stamp it out. If you're racist in the streets in the UK, you're going to get into trouble, let alone in a sporting event. So,
have you seen it? Have you seen this kind of behaviour at football matches?
No, I haven't seen the salutes in games that I broadcast now, and obviously it's going to be a challenge what's coming up, if indeed it is out of control. There are an awful lot of good people getting to this tournament. Not as many as we hoped, actually, because, of course, we're in desperate economic circumstances in a lot of European countries, and a lot of the fans, the real proper fans, aren't actually being able to go, and the prices have gone up, which is another issue which happens around major sporting tournaments. And of course we've got it in London ourselves with the Olympics, with the cashing in, if you like, on the event. So there are a lot of potentially volatile issues, but what I can tell you, Fran, is it's a very, very good tournament, the European Championship. Very, very good, because any one of the 16 nations really has a chance of winning it. It's not like the World Cup, where it tends to be the just tends to fall for five or six very strong countries. So this is something that, from the sporting sense, we're all looking forward to very much. And I do understand your questioning, and I do think it is an issue. We can't say, oh no, I can't come onto your program and say this won't happen, it's all going to be fine. And I'm afraid we've heard a bit too much of that from UEFA. But I just hope that the quality of the sport shines through, and the game comes out of it with some credit, and the countries come out of it with some credit, because there's an awful lot of good people putting in a lot of good work at two countries who've never hosted anything like this before. So we've got to wish them well and hope that they can spot these problems before they actually manifest themselves on our television screen.
And the quality of the sport, are you saying you think it's a wide open tournament, a wide open championship?
I do, and we've had some dark horses coming up to win. Greece, for example, who play in the opening game against Poland in Warsaw in just under 24 hours' time. They won it in 2004 when no one gave them much of a chance. Denmark won it in 1992 when they were brought in at the last minute because another nation dropped out for political reasons. So it's a special competition. It is one that one hopes gets through untainted, and you're going to ask me who's going to win, and I'm going to tell you I don't know, because that's a great thing to be able to say, because I think we've had nine previous winners of 13 tournaments, nine previous winners, and if you allow me a bit of license for political changes, like the Soviet Union calling Russia the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union won it, Russia are there now, all the winners of those tournaments are in this tournament, and that gives you some idea of the depth of the challenge from all around Europe.
Well, that's good news for footy fans. Of course, I think Australian football fans, Martin, in the short term, a little more anxious about tonight's World Cup qualifier between the Socceroos and Oman. What's at stake here for the Socceroos, and how do you think they'll fare? I heard one of the players conceding it's extremely hot out there on the pitch. I think it's 40 degrees at the moment.
Yes, I mean, we tend to think of Australians living in much more heat than perhaps they want to admit to on days when they're playing in Muscat, but it's a tough ask to win this particular game in a country they've already been beaten in. I would say that what we're seeing now is the development of Socceroos from pretenders to qualify for World Cup, occasional coming close and very occasionally getting there. They are now a very well-run, consistent, strong international team, and this is the last hurdle to get through these group games, and I would think everything's going to be focused on it. The players will be, they've had the taste of other World Cups, a lot of the senior players, and it's very special to be through to the World Cup finals. And I think this might not be an easy contest for them. It wouldn't be the biggest surprise if the Heat maybe won the day, which means that maybe Oman will win the match. But I still think Australia will get through, and they're being seen around the world now as a much more powerful outfit. And the switch into the Asian Confederation has given them much more competition. It was always a good thing. And all the things that made that decision happen a few years back are being proved to be absolutely right. They're stronger for all these matches. And, I hope they prove me wrong and come away with the points.
So do we. Thanks very much, Martin. Thanks for joining us again, and good luck with the championship.
Thank you very much.
That's Martin Tyler, football commentator on SBS. He'll be calling Euro 2012. And the Socceroos take on Oman tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's 27 past 6.